And now, Icon Art Radio.
Hi, it's Bill Teeple and Alan Cobb and Donna Colby, and this is Icon Art Radio. Donna has a topic that she brought forward today. It wasn't actually what we planned, but I think it sounds pretty interesting. So just throw it out and let's see what happens.
Let's see if I can even word this well. This was bubbling in my own mind this morning, is what is an artist's obligation, or does an artist even have an obligation to the community, to the art world, to his or her friends? And conversely, what is an artist's obligation to himself or herself, or to art in general as a sort of cosmic aspect of life?
I mean, this brings up the ongoing discussion of the purpose of art. I mean, is it the intrinsic aesthetic experience that he's delivering, or a kind of experience of a more truthful experience of reality that seems to be wound up in the work of art? And is this his obligation to society is to be as free and separated and alone in his little channel to the world of truth and beauty, and deliver that to the world? Is that his only obligation? The postmodern art world has said, no, that was this sort of elitist, sort of like self-serving realm of the transcendental thinking of the abstract expressionists. No, we have to have art that is more relevant, that has some purpose, some social value, such as standing for a cause, which reminds me of the social realism of Russia in the early part of the 20th century, which thought that decadent Western art was just the road to a word which I don't even know I can say on the radio or not, but a place of lower values, an unpleasant place.
You're thinking of H.E. double hockey sticks?
But so art had to be, had some purpose to society, and this whole thing. Now, I'm of the camp that delivering truth and beauty is good enough.
Even if it's no one ever sees it but you?
Yes. I'm really of the purist school.
Yeah.
However, I feel that the artist himself gets some kind of icing on the cake when he actually is able to deliver the product and watch the results, even though it's behind him now, and he's looking forward to greater truth and beauty and engaging it and manifesting it. He gets a bit of a charge and pleasure out of looking back at the people. Being more realized as a result of his efforts and the artifacts that come off of his process of discovery. So that's kind of the two sides, the alone in the cave where you and God are forging something into manifestation. And then there's the act of that, the place in which that artifact of that process is shared by the group, and the group gets something off of that that they don't get off of anything else in life. And that's for the artist to actually watch that happen or get some kind of feedback, like the big yes directed at him as a result of that, and thank you. Well, that's great. We love that.
So but I don't see this as an either-or situation.
Oh, it's not an either-or.
Right. Just like all of those things that you are talking about in their own way have a place in the world of art, I guess what I want to sort of explore in this topic is the feelings of obligation that come up, right or wrong, or helpful or not helpful, within each of us that we maybe get caught by, and how that plays itself out and what we can do about it, and maybe look at each of these different aspects that you were just talking about, Bill, and go a little bit more deeply into each one of them.
The way I see it, I guess, is that it has to do, I mean, there, as you say, there are really two sides to it. There's, you know, does society or the community of artists, if there is such a thing, believe that art now should emphasize something in terms of purpose? And you could perhaps look at the history of art from that point of view, and it all might make a whole lot of sense. I think, in a sense, what we call postmodern, you know, is a manifestation of a feeling of obligation not to buy into anything, and to stay aloof from the world and explore all of the things that can be done, however arbitrarily, in fact, as arbitrarily as possible. And what we've talked about as post-postmodern a few times is perhaps more a sense that, you know, the real role of the artist, which is a polite way of saying the obligation of the artist, is to explore something meaningful inside of himself, and in that exploration express something that will be interesting but hopefully useful to other people. But then on the inside, you know, we're dealing with all of those personal foibles and habits and approval mechanisms that are so ingrained in us in childhood. I know that the work that I do, somewhere in the back of my mind, I wouldn't be satisfied with it if I thought my father would think it was stupid or incompetent. So it needs to have a certain element of craftsmanship, even if it's not craftsmanship per se. And similarly, I would like my friends, the people that I know and respect, to find something in it that's worthwhile in their terms, not just my terms. So, you know, I'm looking for approval, there's no question about that. But that's not the reason I'm doing it. Those sort of almost taint the real thing that I'm after, which is to somehow find the root of my own creativity, because instinct tells me that, or insight or intuition or something tells me that if I understand more about where things come from and how they manifest, I'll be happier.
So this is interesting, because as you were talking, you know, you really like kept peeling away or adding layers to this topic that made me change the word from obligation to responsibility in my mind. And the first layer that you brought out was kind of the responsibility to one's society. As society itself swings and sways and changes and transforms, the artist's role and the artist's responsibility for being like the Pied Piper of the society or the vanguard or something, you know, of the society, their role changes. And then when you were talking about your father and friends and all that, and you wanted to have a certain level of craftsmanship, that brings in two layers of our responsibility to those we care about, whose opinions we care about, and also our own standard of fineness of work. You know, we have that responsibility. And then the final one was the responsibility to something bigger than ourselves, to connect and explore and express that. So this topic keeps growing.
Well, whenever we're talking about art, which seems to be every Wednesday at 8 a.m. on KRUU FM 100.1, whenever we're talking about art, it expands into infinity.
Yeah.
Because they're really, I mean, art is almost not a term for something. It's more a euphemism for, you know, the riddle of life and simply the posture of being intrigued by it, And everyone is at one time or another. Mm-hmm. And there aren't any boundaries to it. The more you define it, the more pointless it is to even discuss it. But exploring this aspect of it is certainly not tantamount to defining it. So I'm.
But every artist knows this concern that you've raised. And that's if you're in your alone in the studio, it all sounds all pure and nice and everything, and you know, dialoguing with God and all this stuff. But in fact, all your demons come to the party at that moment.
That's right, yeah.
And I have learned to actually not only expect them, but to invite them in. Mm-hmm. I've set everybody around me in that room by myself with all everything that's in my head. I invited every one of them to the party to play their part. Mm-hmm. And if you approach it from that angle, each person helps to squeeze out the nectar of mm-hmm. truth. Otherwise, if you're fighting with your demons, it can be quite a battle.
Yeah. Now, and you don't have to, I mean, to me, it's not just demons, but also, I consider them all characters, like all of my ancestors, even.
You know, there's all the stuff he's talking about, to his father and
the
highest standard.
And then there's Picasso and Matisse. There's all of the.
Exactly.
Let
me just say, all the great artists of all time sit there, too,
and
influence me.
And are part of the stage play, which is, and if you don't honor them all within yourself and within your studio, then, I mean, to me, my work is more boring it doesn't reach the richness that incorporates all these opposites if I don't play with those characters, not only invite them in there, but actively play with them,
right, exactly.
Which is, I'm sure, what you're talking about.
That's right. But so, some people want to keep the demons at bay, keep the doubts we're mm-hmm. talking about, the thing that wants to throw unclean things on the ritual.
Yeah,
Well, that's where surrender comes in. I've long time ago done battle with the largest demons that I think exist in myself, or my outer layers anyway. and the secret to success was surrender.
Yeah.
I
mm-hmm.
thought that they would destroy me. I thought that it was possible to be destroyed by my own feelings. And it turned out that as long as I resisted those feelings, they were absolutely insurmountable. Mm-hmm. And the more I resisted, the more violent and monstrous they became, to the point where obviously they can destroy me.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, one day I thought, you know, I'm just going to let them destroy me. And they were gone in about, you know, 1.5 seconds.
Yeah. I figure people, you know, the most belligerent people actually want people to be friendly to them. And that mm-hmm. includes demons and, you know, mm-hmm. whatever we're talking about, psychological attributes and all that, that if we're friendly and open to the reason for existence of all of these aspects of life we don't like, we have more of an opportunity to breeze right through. And otherwise, if we're always putting up our dukes, the people who are always putting up their dukes and resisting, and they're always like afraid they're going to get ripped off, and the artists who are afraid somebody's going to steal their ideas and things like that, I think there's more of a tendency for those things to happen.
Oh,
to
those things
who have that kind of
those things only attitude. Exist when you imagine them and then resist them.
Yeah,
they have no reality of their own at all. You have to be fighting them for them to exist.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you stop fighting, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
You can't win because there's nothing to defeat. But that sounds so abstract, and this isn't a psychology program, so I'll let that one go.
You know, there's this little book called Art and Fear. Do you know about it?
Well, that's
it's
a good
real
title.
It's simple. It's not some cosmic thing. But the guy, I think it's one or two authors, they kind of go into these head trips that mm-hmm. artists get into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I think part of maturing as an artist is to recognize this process and everything that's involved. And I think the end thesis of that book is that you just got to work through it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Just keep working.
Only fear dies. which happens to be the title of a book, but I felt that way long before I saw the book. It's really true that it's fear is the symptom of resisting something that may or may not happen in your mind. It's not got anything to do with anything outside the mind. And you know, you can get into the fine points of analyzing that if you're talking about whether it's, you know, you should be afraid if someone is coming towards you, you know, with a hatchet in his hand. But in general, everything that we fear is it's the experience of resisting something, which is another form of trying to control the outcome.
Well, and with reference to art specifically, one of the great fears is that people aren't going to like your work, or
yeah.
somebody's going to say it's stupid or not understand it.
Yeah.
And we have no idea. It's like I'll be working on some piece, and the problem really is that I don't know how to evaluate it myself.
Exactly.
And so I'm afraid to show it to anybody. So I tuck it away underneath something, and if anybody comes over, they don't see it. And then every once in a while, you know, I'll become brave and let somebody peek at it, and more times than not, people like it, or at least they say they do. They don't openly criticize it. But when I look within myself, what am I afraid of, mm-hmm. even if somebody doesn't like it? Obviously, everyone has different taste, and why should somebody having different taste from mine make me feel threatened somehow? And so it goes back to my own, like you were just saying, my own self-doubts. It has really nothing to do with these other people. It has to do right. with how I'm feeling about myself. And what I'm afraid of is that I will lose confidence in my own work if somebody else has a different opinion about it.
Well, so what is the responsibility of the artist? I mean, what do we think is the responsibility of an artist, if any?
I think that's the responsibility, being
yeah.
true to yourself. And
yeah,
and
really.
And it's this not knowing that sort of drives us crazy, because
mm-hmm.
we don't know what we just did or why we just did it or what it is. And if that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, or how we did it.
That we have just left ourselves in reality,
yes.
named it all,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
we are there. It's this wanting to know what it is. I mean, the unknowing is the reality, and it is.
Yeah.
Well, there's no question that it is. We just made a red stroke. Yeah,
I wonder if, in a sense, you could sum it up by saying it's simply our compulsion to think about it.
Because what you said before about the surrender mm-hmm. aspect, essentially it's surrender to the unknowing.
That's right.
That's the key. Because why do I even have to evaluate my own work? If doing it and producing it, often it's like the experience itself, I'm absolutely immersed in the experience, and it's only when I step back later and try to look at it objectively that I get in trouble.
Right.
What did Chagall say?
Well, the artist isn't responsible for whether it's any good or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not his role. That's history decides that, and you know, it pretty much doesn't matter whether history likes it or not.
So
he does his thing. He does this process. He
yeah.
engages
yeah.
in the process.
So that's the artist's responsibility then, isn't it? To engage in this process.
And the intellect, I mean, you cannot not try to do your best.
Right.
I mean, you
yeah.
can't not discriminate about what's in front of your face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's red, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's green. And then you can't not enjoy red and green. You know, you can try to, but
mm-hmm.
if you let go, you're experiencing the beauty of red and green together. It's a thing. It's a chord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of stuff we do. And then trying to evaluate whether red and green together are a good thing or a bad thing. Now, that's going off in some place that has nothing to do with it.
Mm.
And one century, something will be lauded by one and all as the greatest and the best, and the person will have laurel leaves and everything else. And in the next century, everyone will be snickering about it.
Yeah.
So how can you go with that?
Well, and responsibility, I think, it's from what you just said, it's more responsibility to express what you're feeling coming through you accurately rather than to match up with some arbitrary standard that the art world has set or that even you yourself set yesterday, that maybe what's coming through you today has expanded and grown and you know inside what it is you're trying to express. And when you look at your piece, stand across the room and you look at your piece, you know whether you have succeeded in expressing that or not. So that, I think, is a key part.
And you'll
part
feel
of it.
What you feel about it.
Yeah.
And if it's a good feeling, you're liable to try another one.
And you may have expressed something differently from what you intended, but that's a good surprise. You see, oh, you know,
that's a double-edged sword. If you have discovered something new that makes you feel, yes, this is what I'm after in my pursuit as an artist, that's one thing. But if you're rationalizing that even though it did not succeed, my friends all like it and somebody just bought it, therefore that's a good enough reason to do it. Well, now you are not being true to your responsibility as an artist.
Yeah.
In my mind.
I think a large part of it has to do with not thinking about what you're doing. Part of the joy of creating things is that in order to be creative and with any degree of success, you have to be pretty much non-thinking during the process. Maybe you plan it for a month before you begin, but the doing of it is what gets you coming back for more. Mm-hmm. And it's in the doing of it that you can't spend a lot of time thinking. You just do it. And when you step back and look at it and start thinking about it again, you try to judge it, you try to decide if it's any good, and one day you love it, and the next day you hate it, and ultimately the whole problem is just that you're thinking about it.
Yes, and I'm going to make a little offshoot as an example because it is relevant to this. I've just bought a house and I'm fixing up the house, painting and all that, but one of my favorite aspects is going shopping for the house, and I will go armed with a list of specific things I need. But I've discovered that the key to successful shopping is to, you know, kind of have this list somewhere in the background, but when I'm actually going into stores, to completely just be open to art, basically, the art of a lamp or a chair or whatever. And I have found that the shopping trips are exquisitely pleasant, and I come home with my car crammed with items that I absolutely love that may or may not be things that seem to go together, but when I put them in the spaces, they work beautifully together because I fell in love with each object. And I find the same thing to happen when I'm working on a piece of art, you know, where if each aspect I'm doing is somewhat intuitive and I'm loving this stroke or this color, somehow, it's same result.
It's the magic formula for action. Is that you take a direction and then you take it as it comes. You take one step and you're stepping into a different universe. Each step is a whole different world. And in that world, you haven't had time to think it through and figure out what's the best thing and decide, you know, among all the alternatives. So that if you are going to get anywhere and keep taking steps, you have to suspend your judgment and your commentary and your evaluation and you know, writing of the history and stuff while it's actually happening. And it's a wonderful paradox because it's really how it all works. If you look at it very closely, you find that you don't actually know how you're doing what you're doing anyway. You really are doing it without any understanding of the mechanics of it, mm-hmm. at the subtler levels of, like, for example, moving your body. You don't know how you move your arm, you just think you do. And so it's kind of a joke that we would go out into the world and expect anything to happen according to anybody's plan that we heard about. It's happening spontaneously. And if you want to be a part of it, you have to stop being separate from it.
And be in that world. I love the way you expressed that before. It's like you enter a world, a
yeah.
certain world of yeah. art and creativity. In fact, possibly the next show we could start from that diving board because because I'd really like to talk about what that world, what makes that world the way it is. I knew as soon as you talked about it what that felt like.
Yeah, that's the you know, the magic that Bill's always talking about, that makes art so cosmic. Yeah. If you look at it from that angle, that the artist is a magician in a sense, and it's really just because the artist is being conscious about that magic, that mm-hmm. impossible paradox, that in order to perform action, you begin to perform action and then you have nothing to do with it. And you try to understand how that happens, and you get into writing essays and, you know, 1,000-page books.
Becoming an art critic instead of an artist.
Exactly. God forbid. An arbiter of taste.
So the responsibility of the artist is about the same responsibility of the lover. You know, when we fall in love, why do we do that? And what is the responsibility of the person falling in love? His responsibility is to just go ahead and be in love.
Let it carry him or her along.
Unconditionally.
Into that world, yeah.
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 So perhaps we should put in a quick plug for the grand opening of the new Icon Gallery on the square on the next art walk, which is, I believe, in 2 days?
Yes, Friday the 6th.
Friday the 6th.
And
I'm really excited about it, and I know Bill is
fencing
out of his chair about it.
I'm nuts over it. We have a gift that we're giving to the community, and that's my art and my love. And so please come out to the gallery on the art walk, and my pleasure is in creating this center of art activity here in Fairfield.
Listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.